We thank you for your wonderful presence in our midst. We enter your word with reverence. We do not enter into it presumptuously, for we are fully conscious of our human limitations, the limitations of the finiteness of our human minds, to firstly deliver and secondly to receive your word. And so we ask you to come and help us. In particular, anoint me afresh, Lord God. Help me to speak as I should, as an oracle of God. And I pray that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me this morning, those who are here physically, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically. This word will have free course from you through me to the people, to do an eternal work in each of our hearts, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray as the power of the Spirit of God, as these words go forth, that you will back it, release your power in sufficient measure, Lord God, to heal, to deliver, to break yokes, to free men, so that they will become doers of the things which they hear, and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that I will do it with precision, redeem the time, and speak only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, said, amen. Well, we're going to continue our study this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This has got Paul's great exposition on the resurrection. And it's a critical portion of scripture that you must know by revelation as well as by experience. The resurrection is the very heart of Christianity. No resurrection, no Christianity. Of course, there is a resurrection, whether you believe it or not. You know, but it's an argument that you need to grasp. You know, the resurrection is fundamental. It's not negotiable. It's not subject to human philosophy, debates, opinions, and what have you. Praise the Lord. And so, in our last lesson, we concluded where Paul was talking about fighting beasts at Ephesus, and saying, the summary of what he says is, why do I risk my life every day? Why do I fight? I say, I die daily. Now, of course, we know he didn't literally mean he was dying physically every day. But what he meant by that was that he was, by the Spirit, you know, crucifying the sin nature in his body daily. And in doing that, he was exposing himself to the danger of death, physical death, on a daily basis. And that is a warrior mentality that must envelop our Christian minds at this time. So many Christians don't have that mind. In fact, many Christians are afraid of death. And Pastor Wally, if we're not here on Wednesday, I strongly urge you to get the email them. You know, just send your email to us. They will send you a free copy of the message, you know, via email, and you can put it on your phone or wherever, so you can listen to it. You know, we're talking to us about we overcome by not loving our lives unto the death. And here I have concluded it. I'll just reiterate this, and then we'll go into the resurrection body, talk about resurrection body this morning. The resurrection is fundamental. When you know and believe in your heart the reality of the resurrection, then it removes the fear of death. It's when you're not sure one of two things. Either you're not sure there's going to be a resurrection, which is very foolish, or, which is the one that is more real, you're not sure where you will resurrect into. And as a, you know, most people are not stupid enough not to believe in the resurrection. Whether you believe it or not, anyway, it's true. But if you're not sure of your order and glory of resurrection, then you'll be afraid of death. Because you're not ready. You're not even some so-called Christians are not even sure they're going. go to heaven. You see all that, you know, when you're on the plane, you see all kinds of drama. When the plane goes to turbulence, or the thing just drops a little bit, everybody starts praying. People didn't believe in God 20 minutes ago. They all become ardent believers, thinking that it's that quick 21-second prayer that's going to save them. Well, God is merciful, amen. He may actually. If the thief on the cross could go to heaven, I think there's hope for some of them. Praise the Lord. But seriously, you know, if you're afraid of death, you know, then you're, you know, then you pray all these emergency prayers. But that should not be our condition. We should know, and we should be peaceful in our hearts, set. Now, we're not going to go and do anything stupid and go and die and expose ourselves to danger, because we need to live long to fulfill our destiny. But I'm not afraid of death because of where I'm going. I don't want to die because I want to live long enough to do the will of God. It's a completely different mindset. Some people don't want to die because they're afraid. But I don't want to die, not because I'm afraid. God, I know where I'm going. But I'm afraid. I don't want to die because I want to live long enough to fulfill my destiny. One is a selfish reason. The other one is a noble reason. And you need to change the reason for wanting to live long. I don't want to live long so I can indulge in the flesh. This place is not very nice, actually. Praise the Lord. Heaven is far better. Trust me. The Bible says to depart to be with Christ is far better. All the people who have gone and come back, you know, have all testified that they never wanted to come back. But God, in some cases, God overruled them and said they hadn't finished, like Kenneth Hagin. So you haven't finished your work, go back. But generally speaking, it's so nice up there that, you know, this place is a sorry place. Amen. You don't even want to. You know, but if it's not real to you, then all this becomes, you know, phantom thinking, if you can use that expression. It just becomes, you know, wishful imaginations. But it's real. So the resurrection is real. Now, I want to leave us with this thought before I move on. It kind of concludes all the things that we have said in the last few verses. And it is this. I put it this way. To be a successful Christian, and it also summarizes what Pastor Wiley was teaching on Wednesday, you know, on, you know, overcoming by not loving our lives unto the death, by not loving our lives. You must be ready to risk your life and suffer inconvenience and endure hardness to do the will of God. There are three things there. Number one, everybody say, to be a successful Christian, to find your life. I didn't hear you. And to fulfill your destiny in Christ, you must be ready to risk your life daily, to suffer inconvenience, and to endure hardness to do the will of God. Most Christians are ready to risk their life. Oh, in this is the thought, the spirit behind what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 9. Let's quickly go there again. The same thing Paul was saying. He said, you know, he said, if the dead are not raised, what does it profit me? You know. He says, I fought wild beasts at Ephesus, talking about spiritual principalities. The beasts are just symbolic of the spiritual forces that govern governments, you know, and communities. He says, I fought with those beasts. And we see from the book of Acts that he actually overcame them. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 9, and look at verse 22, so that we can get the thought pattern here. What's the thought of the Holy Spirit here? Here, the Lord Jesus was telling them, he said, the Son of Man, I didn't hear you, must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed or slain, and be raised the third day.
Now, immediately he said that, everybody around him began to panic. Peter, you know, we know one account tells the Peter probes said, I don't say, don't make a name confession. No. I reject that for you in Jesus' name. In those days, they hadn't yet got Jesus' name. But, you know, if it was today, I reject that for you. You know, you will not die. It's not your portion. And the rest was the will of God. You need to find out what the will of God is. Now, verse 23. And he said unto them all, you see, because of the fear and that come into their heart because of what he just said, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be killed, but I will be raised again. You know, everybody is out of sorts. So if you're going to follow me, you're going to go through the same thing. Just like I'm going to die, you're going to die too. Now, you're not going to die on the cross, but you're going to have to die to self. Hello? It's that's the spirit behind what he's saying. That's why I went to the verse before. He has told them what he was going to happen to him. And anybody who is following him must follow in the same shoes, in the same footsteps. So he says, and he said unto them, all. I like the word all, not just the apostles. Hello? That is not just of the apostles or of Kenneth Hagin or some big men of God, you know, or canonized saints. Whatever that means. Praise the Lord. It's for all. And he said unto them all, if any man, this is a blank check for everybody, no exceptions. If any man will come after me, how many people want to come after Jesus? Or let me put this: how many people are coming after Jesus? Okay. So if your hand is up, turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to read about you in the next few verses. Now put your hand down. Let him. Turn to your neighbor, he's talking about you. And he's talking about me. You know when I would like to read the Bible, I say he's talking to Peter. Or he's talking to John. No, he's talking to you. Hello? Let him deny himself, take up his cross on Easter's, Christmas, once in a week. Hallelujah. Let him take up his cross where? Daily and follow me. We looked at this in our last lesson, so I'm not going to go. That cross there is not a physical cross. It's talking about using the power of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis to crucify your flesh. It involves some of those things I've mentioned. It, in some sense, it involves risking your life. You know, because when you begin to pray at that level, Satan will attack you. Hey, come and ask me. When I started praying like this, all hell broke loose. I'm telling you the truth. This is my personal experience. I prayed a prayer. It was in 1982. I said, God, train me the way you trained Jesus. I meant it all. And I said, you know, I didn't know all the things I know now. You know, I didn't know about life scriptures. I didn't know about all of it. But I used to pray in the spirit. I pray a lot in tongues. I pray and groan. You know, I didn't groan systematically like I do now. But I would. You know, it all hell broke loose. I had a car accident. You know, December 26th. The car somersaulted 5 times on the expressway. Me and Pastor Fred Adegoke were inside the car. I almost died. Within a few weeks later, it was a barrage of attacks. Amen. My father gave me another car, the Igala. That one, the tires on the expressway. You know, they just tore. You know, then you know within it was just one after the other. One after the other, you know, to the point, you know, I despaired of life. Like Paul, I can identify with Paul. You know, I had the same sense of that. I didn't care. I wasn't married. I was a young boy. I didn't care. All I knew was that I'm not going to give up. And I'm not going to stop doing what God told me to do.
I knew where I was going if I died anyway. You know, I didn't want to die, of course, because I wanted to live, you know, so I could do the will of God. But I was constantly attacked. I was attacked in my environment, you know. Had a car accident, had a second one, you know, within a few months of each other, you know, and then financially I was in a difficult, I didn't have a job for a while, you know, it was one thing after the other. I was trying to learn how to live a fasted life. You know, I had nobody taught me, you know, I'd heard it from Kenneth Hagin, but, you know, I didn't have anybody one-on-one to teach me, you know, so I wouldn't eat, and then my health would, you know, I would swing to one extreme and swing back. People would say, what's wrong with you? Is it you who killed Jesus' mother? Why are you suffering like this? And you lost so much weight. Eh? Are you sure? You know, I would take vitamins, you know, and I would just, you know, I'll try and get the balance. And there were times I thought I was going to die. I'm being honest. You know, but I have to learn this thing. I have to learn it. I have to learn it. Then with time, I started getting the balance. I would ask God, and that's why you need a humble and an honest heart. It's essential, or else you won't survive this thing. Because that's how grace comes, and wisdom. I ask God for wisdom. I say, God, you know, then you talk, you say, you can take Milo, you can take this, but don't take solid food. You know, so, because that would disturb the spiritual thing you're trying to do, you know, and then gradually, I started, you know, getting the balance and all of that. And those crosshairs, satanic crosshairs of my life, they never went off. But I had just to be very careful. And now that's how I said, I learned how to bind the devil three times a day. I don't bind the devil, the guy will attack me again. I don't bind him once, but when I bind him, then everything's okay. So the prayer now became survival mood. It was no longer optional. People around me didn't know what I was going through. You know, many people didn't understand what I was going through. But I knew what I was going through, you know. And I learned it, you know, and I'm still learning. But the point is this. If you want to go find God, you're going to have to do this thing. You've got to deny yourself. You're going to take up your cross daily, and you're going to follow Jesus. And it involves those three things. It involves risking your life. And the spirit of that is also caught in these two accounts in the Bible. One is in Esther, the other with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. That's the spirit. When I say the spirit, that's the thought pattern. That's the attitude. Are you listening to me? And the four Hebrew boys said, you know, our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow. So whether I die or not, I'm still going to do the will of God, you know. So I'm not going to. Satan cannot intimidate me. You know, by attacking my life to try and get me off the word of God. Hello, somebody. So you have to risk your life. You have to suffer inconvenience and endure hardness. That's getting up early in the morning to pray, fasting, you know, and all of these things. It's inconvenient, you know, and it's hard on the body. That's why I was saying endure hardness. But like I explained to us on Wednesday, for those who were here, you know, initially it's difficult, but later it becomes easy. That's the truth. And the Bible is actually true. It says labor to enter into rest. Initially there's a labor. Then after a while, you know, you find the yoke easy and the burden light. You know, the yoke of eternal life, and it's the burden of travail. After some time, when the sin nature in your system has gone down very considerably, groaning is no longer hard as it used to be. And it's not as noisy as it used to be. It becomes very powerful and very efficient. Are you listening to me? Because it's actually from here. His power is in the navel of his belly. It's not from here. It's from here. And what you are, it's actually, the simplest way to answer is a pump. What you're doing is, you're tightening your muscles and you're pumping power out through your mouth. It's really as simple as that. You know.
And after a while, it becomes easy. I can groan in the car. I can groan in the airplane. Even when I'm groaning. Before, praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how you start. And like I shared with them on Wednesday, the Bible says strong crying. It doesn't say loud crying. You just say strong. Now, sometimes it will be loud too. That's okay too. You know, but you learn. You will learn. So, these are the things. Let's repeat it. Let's say you need to risk your life, suffer inconvenience, and endure hardness to find your life. That's the way Jesus said it. You know, one other scripture I'll share with you, and then we'll go into the resurrection body. It's in Matthew chapter 7. And look at verse, where are we? Yes, verse 13. Everybody read me, say, enter ye in at the straight gate. Give this to me, either in the New King James. Give it to me in the New King James. Yes. Enter through the narrow gate. Folks, that gate is narrow. It doesn't give you room for, you know, how to get up in the morning, pray, 2.5 hours tithing of your time, you know, walk in the spirit, you know, pray the, now, you know, we pray spirit, you know, once every 6 hours, come with your thoughts. There's no room for tithe. Hello, somebody. What's wrong with you this morning? Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Why? Because it's easy. Why? The answer is very simple. This other road, do you understand, does not involve you risking your life. It does not involve inconvenience. And it does not involve enduring any hardness. So most people take that road, and their pastors tell them a lie that is the road that Jesus has, you know, taken all our suffering for us. We don't have to suffer. You know, what a lie. The Bible says we are called to the fellowship of his sufferings. Being conformable to his death. The Bible goes, it goes as far as to tell us that after you have suffered a while, it is then you will not be perfected and established. But that suffering is non-negotiable. Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. Where did they get that gospel from? Babylon. Somebody told them a lie and they bought it. Thank God I didn't. I refuse to buy that lie. Thank God for the Bible. Who would have deceived us? Thank God we have the word. Amen. Now, the way to life is narrow. The other way is, and let me tell you something. Still stay in verse 13. I'll take you to verse 14 in a minute. You know, that destruction there is at two levels. The destruction of hellfire, which is the obvious one, you know. Then there's another destruction, where the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved, which is the one most Christians fall into. They suffer loss. You find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't have time to go there, but trust me, it's there. Hello? Hello? He says, if any man be with wood, he or stubble. He says, whatever he says, he will be burnt up. He says, he will be saved, you know, but he will suffer loss. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, talking about someone who was committing fornication and adultery, he said, deliver him unto destruction, unto Satan for the destruction of flesh, that the spirit is going born again. Thank God for the Bible. He says, he's born again, he's a child of God. You know, but he's going to be destroyed. He will not fulfill his destiny, like most of the guys in the Old Testament in the wilderness. Hello? And as a destroyer, that is the path many Christians are going down. As I speak, they are taking the broad and easy way. It looks as if their prayers are being answered. And that's why I say it looks as if.
Bible says he will give them desire of their heart, but he will send leanness to their soul. But they don't know that at the end of that road is a destruction of the flesh, a premature death, and a loss of destiny. Write it down. Pastor Lubi, you are cursing me. I didn't curse you. I just told you what the Bible said. Did you hear any curse from my mouth? You know, we hate truth. Don't like truth. If you take the broad road, you will be destroyed. The way to life is narrow and straight. Jesus did not make, he didn't negotiate it. He didn't try and water the message down. And I am not watering it down. Now, next verse, verse 14. And then we can move on. 14. But small. No. We have changed. I didn't ask you to change. Stay in New King James. New King James, not New International. Oh, you don't have it. No, New King James. You don't have it. Okay, stay in New International. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. I actually went to check it this morning. Of course, I knew it. But I like to check again. No matter how much I know, I check again. I went to go and look into the original Greek. That's Zoe. Small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to Zoe, and only few find it. You know why? Only a few love God enough to take the inconvenience. Only a few love God enough to endure the hardness. Only a few trust God enough to risk their lives. And it's a question of trust. I risk my life, but I trust that God will not let me die. Esther said that if I perish, I perish. But she was trusting that God won't let her perish. Did she perish? Did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego perish? But the guys who tried to keep their life, what happened to them? They perished in the wilderness. Look at the contrast. The guys who were ready to risk their lives didn't perish. The ones who tried to save their lives perished. That's the way many of them go, and they perish in the wilderness. The Bible is true. The Lord Jesus is telling us the truth. He said, if you try and save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you risk your life for my sake, if you take inconvenience for my sake, if you endure hardness for my sake, you will find your life. It's a good deal. It's a good deal. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. You know, the world is already on the way to destruction anyway. They're already on the road to destruction. I'll follow them. They will be destroyed. Ultimately, if they don't change. You know, so that's the spirit behind everything Paul has just said. He said, what does it profit me if the dead are not raised? It's because of the truth and the reality of the resurrection that it makes sense for me to risk my life. It makes sense. Because even if I lose my life, I don't lose everything. But if I try and keep my life, and then it's guaranteed I'm going to lose everything. So it's better to take the risk. And then trust God to look after you. And that's what faith is trust. Trust God that even if I risk my life, God will keep me. I did that as a young boy when I was 21, 22, 23. I risked my life. And everybody thought I was mad. My friends thought I was mad. My parents thought I was mad. Even the Christians thought I was mad. I'm telling you the truth. People thought I was crazy. But we all stay away from me. You know. I didn't care. Amen. But here I am today. Now everybody's recorded. The comrades full circle. And I agreeing that what I did was now the right thing. You can't change the word of God. The Bible says to do it. And then you get through it. It doesn't take long. Within a short time, you will learn the right thing and you will move on. Hello, somebody.
Somebody saw me recently. This is true. And I said, this is the glory of God. I was sharing with my wife and the pastors. He hadn't seen me for a long time. He was a pastor friend. You know, he hadn't seen me for many years. So he goes, he bowed down. I said, ah, what's wrong with you? Ah, he was not telling some other guy. He said, this guy is the Kenneth Hagin of Nigeria. He's the guy we used to follow back in those days. Ah, he said, pastor, where have you been? You know, and he said he was going to invite me for something. And then he was telling somebody, he said, this man is a veteran. These are the guys who used to tell us. I was laughing. I said, you know, I said, to God be the glory. I said, you know, these things, if you're serious, you do the right thing. Hello, somebody. You do the right thing. You know, people deep down in their conscience, they know. Bible says, you know, your bears witness. Your conscience, no. And they know the guys are deceiving them. Anyway, now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll take a few minutes there. Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Right. So, verse 35, let's read. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. We've established the fact of the resurrection, or of the fact that you need to believe in the resurrection, and when you believe in it, then you can fight wild beasts, then you can risk your life, and you know that, you know, you have some good deal, God will look after you, and He'll take care of you. Now, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Next verse. I like Paul here. He said, thou fool. If it was me talking to you, you know what I'll say? I said, don't be silly. It's the same thing. Same spirit. Are you listening to me? Same thought. You know? And that's why I say that quite a bit. I say, don't be silly. Come on. You know? Thou fool. You know? That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest, thou sowest not the body that shall be, but what? Bare grain. It may be of chance of wheat or some other. Give this to me, the New International Version. These old English, sometimes we get. Go back to verse 36. How foolish. Oh, how silly. You know, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. I mean, you don't even have to be. Now, next verse, verse 37. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be. Now, this is very important. I'm going to come back to it in a minute. But just a seed. Perhaps of wheat or something else. Next verse. I can't come back to that. But God gives it. I didn't hear you. A body as He has determined. And to each kind of seed, He gives its own body. Amen. Next verse. All flesh is not the same. Let me just stop there. Those of us who are in biology and the medical people, you, what he's saying here is that all flesh is not of the same texture. Hello? It's different. It's all flesh. But it's different even amongst us human beings. It's the same skin. You know, dermatologists will tell you, you know, the same biological things. But the pigmentation is different. That's what makes me black. And the other guy, Caucasian. And the other guy, you know, Chinese or Asian. Even at that level, our flesh is not the same. It's the same, but it's different pigmentation. Hello, somebody. There's a lesson here about the resurrection. We're going to come back to it in a minute. Men have one kind of flesh. Animals have another. Birds, another. Fish, another. At this time, there was no science of biology. When Paul was writing, Paul was bringing a beautiful illustration by the Holy Spirit, just by observing nature. The invisible things of Him are clearly seen. So by observing, men have one kind of flesh. Animals have. Even in the animal kingdom, there's diversity. The flesh of the lion is not the same as the one of the monkey. Hello?
you know, or the one of a zebra. Well, different kinds of flesh. Now, flesh, but different variety. As well, our God is a God of variety. He made so many, you know, there's a hymn we sing, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. You know, I was saying, this is just a slight digression. I'll get back to my point in a minute. A few days ago, my wife was writing somebody in an email, and she quoted this hymn. And as I was reading the email, and she gave it to me to review, I started humming it in my heart. And there's a reason why I'm saying this. And as I started humming it in my heart, I just thought to myself, I said, when I was a kid, 5, 6, 7, in my primary school in Adrao, I first of all went to Corona, you know, I went to Corona Creche when I was 2 years old. Then my wife, my mom now took me to Adrao. Adrao started in 1963 because it was my mom's friend who owned the school. It was in Victoria Island. We used to sing those things every morning. Then I thought to myself, I said, what happened? They don't sing them anymore. When I was a kid, I used to sing all things bright and beautiful. Oh, I'm talking from primary school. Now, of course, I went to a Christian secondary school, CMS, you know, and of course, continue to. But, you know, right, and I still remember as a 5, 6, 7 year old child, anytime we sang that particular hymn, something in my heart would just bubble. The Lord God made them all. He gave us eyes to see them, and lips that we might tell how great is God Almighty who made all things well. Give the Lord a clap offering. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. He says, Satan took those things away from the schools, so that the children will not have a disposition towards God. Where did we get it from? It was from the English. From the colonial masters. That was what every child in England used to sing. 100 years ago. Even 70 years ago. Then they woke up with all this rubbish and nonsense. And took it away. I thank God in my own generation I got it. Amen. So we have different kinds of God is a God of variety. Animals have another. Birds have another. Fish have another. You can see the flesh of the fish is different from that of the animal, different from that of the birds. Even among the birds, you have different kinds of birds. You've got eagles. You've got these tiny little birds, you know, and so on. What you say is God is a God of variety. Next verse. Hello, somebody. There are also... Thank God for Paulo. This is a man of revelation. This guy was not, he wasn't taught astronomy. He wasn't taught biology. But here it is. Just by observing, then God was using the invisible, the things that were made to explain to Paul the invisible things that he couldn't see. There also, I didn't hear you all. Bodies and they are earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor, King James said, the glory of the earthly bodies is another. Next verse. The sun has one kind of splendor, and the moon another. And the stars, another. And star differs from star in splendor. The King James says, one star differs from another star in glory. Glory just means, you know, the degree of brilliance and radiance. Now, next verse. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. He's given us different illustrations. He started from, you know, wheat and the things that you sow. Then he went to men and animals. Then he now went to celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. You know, using that illustration, he's trying to capture something here. God is trying to tell us something here. So he now says, so will it be, I didn't hear you, with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. Next verse. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Next verse. It is sown, I love this. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Stop! Get a thought. And the thought is this. Just as you have a physical body, you also have a spiritual body. A body is a shape. A container. That is made in this shape. We'll get back to that in a minute. This is good. There's also a spiritual. Paul is trying to help us to get revelation. He has seen something. So he's trying to now write it in words so that you can see what he has seen. Hello, somebody. Next verse. As it is written, the first Adam became a living being, and the last Adam a life-giving spirit. Next verse. I got to close this one today. Okay. Howbeit, the spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. Stay in the New International. Stay in the New International. And go back to verse 47 now. New International. Thank you. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man from heaven. Next verse 48. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Next verse. We'll stop here for today. And just as we have borne, I didn't hear you, the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Give the Lord a clap offering. I like Paul. Now, let's go back and retrace our thoughts. And we'll take it from here in our next lesson. Now, here it is. He says, somebody will say, if there's a dead, if somebody's raised from the dead, which body is he going to come with? Now, Paul says, don't be silly, or you know, says, oh, how foolish. But look at the thinking of the natural man. And most human beings think like this. Everybody has seen what happens to a dead man. When the spirit leaves the body decays. You put it inside the coffin, you put it inside the grave, come and check it in a year. It's gone. Do you understand? The worms have eaten out all the eyes. All you just have is just the bone. You know, even the bones, you know, become brittle. You know, if you leave it long enough, everything becomes dust. So, to the natural man who only believes in what he can see, there is no way that body can come back. That's why he asked that foolish question. With what body will they come? If the body dissolves, it disintegrates inside the earth, inside the grave, you know, then there's no possibility of thing come back. Then he says, you fool. Think. When you sow a seed, for instance, let's take tomatoes. I can use anything, but or bananas or whatever. The little tiny seed you sow inside the ground, does it look like the banana that you eat?
Oh, come on. It's not about the little, like, let's take tomatoes for example. You know, little tiny tomato seed, you put it inside the ground. This seed you put inside, it's just one tiny seed. You can't even eat it. Then when it gets inside the ground and it goes through a period of germination and receives all kinds of nutrition and chemicals from the earth, we know that now because we have some knowledge of science, you know, then it begins to grow. When it comes up now, it now begins to bring forth fruit. The tomato fruit, as it ripens, it now has a red color. It's big, it's luscious. It doesn't look anything like the seed you originally sowed. Now, come on, don't be silly. If God can do that for the seed, He can do it for your body. Give the Lord a clap offering. So, when they bury the body, they are only sowing a seed. Glory be to God. And when the resurrection comes, you are going to reap a harvest that's not going to look anything like the seed. It's going to look far more glorious and far more beautiful than the seed that was sown. Are you listening to me? And then to give us further understanding, the great apostle tells us this. He says, and even then, you will find different kinds of bodies. So in the resurrection, there will be different kinds of resurrected bodies. They will not be the same. This is what will blow away the religion out of your head completely. Are you listening to me? Yes, we are all going to heaven. But we're not going to be the same. There are some people, when they begin to approach you in heaven, you will know that it's coming. You know why? The glory. And there are some people, when they approach, nobody will know. Because of the glory of their resurrection. I like the word the New International used, the splendor. The splendor of one body is going to be different from the other. I'm not going to be the same. Now, we can all be good. That's the will of God. Are you listening? God is not partial, you know. But He's telling us here. He says, you know, He said one star, that He used that beautiful, you know, different from one star and grow. It's very interesting. Even though Paul didn't know physics, there was no physics at that time. They didn't have understanding like we have now. He could tell by revelation the different glory of the sun and the moon. You know, the sun, the moon doesn't have any glory. The moon is an opaque. It's just rock. Those of us who did a little bit of physics and, you know, astronomy, you know, and there's a branch of it called astrophysics. It's different. It deals with the physics of what is going on inside the stars. You know, the helium and the hydrogen and all of that, you know. But the important point you want to see here is that the moon is just rock. It does not have light of its own. So when you are seeing the moon at night, what you are seeing is the reflection of the sun. Paul picked it. And so will it be in the resurrection. Some people will have no glory. I'm going to have to close here. This, you know, different kinds of resurrection. Different kinds of, see, the body of the animals, the one of the fish is different from the one of the animals, is different from the one of the birds, is different from, you know, he's trying to tell you that this resurrection is not going to be a free for all. What is this supposed to do to us to motivate you? Every man that had this hope in him purified himself. You think I'm mad? You think Paul is mad? Paul said, you think you're crazy. Don't you think I too cannot marry sister and be leading about sister like Peter and the brethren of the Lord? And God recorded it as scripture. I'm sure when they get to heaven, Peter will say, Praise the Lord. You just quietly. You think it's only me and Barnabas that don't know. We don't know what is good. He said, but I pressed toward the mark. For the Paul had, he saw something. Now, I have to pick this up in my next lesson. But this is the crux of the matter. And this is where works become important. Works don't save you. They don't save you. What saves you is faith in Jesus Christ. And like I said earlier on, if the thief on the cross could get saved, anybody can get saved. Are you listening to me? God put that story in the Bible to show you that you don't have to be just 2 minutes from death. Well, 2 minutes maybe. It was a short while from death. He accepted Christ and made it heaven. But you want to ask the question the thief on the cross gets. I can tell you, without knowing everything, I can just give you some brief something. He certainly will not have the same order as Joseph. Hello? Or Enoch? Or any of the great saints? It's not possible. He didn't live that kind of life. Do you understand? Salvation for new birth, for going to heaven. Heaven, I'm going to say it, heaven is a gift. It's not a reward. But the degree, the order and the glory of your resurrection is a reward. And that is why you need to live a holy life. The people who are, he said, what does it profit me? I fight with wild beasts at Ephesus, I pray, I fast. If we're all going to be the same, then I'm wasting my time. If the other guy down the road, who is not doing all of those things, not living a clean life, he's not living a holy life, he's not walking in the spirit, he's not putting the life of God inside his body, and then, when we get resurrected, we'll get to heaven and just sing songs and play harps. What a childish, myopic picture. When I was a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. No, sir. When we get to heaven, the order and the glory of your resurrection is going to be directly related to the kind of work you did here. That's why works are important. Works determine reward. They don't determine salvation. Get it and get it right. Salvation, as far as I'm talking about basic salvation of the new birth and going to heaven, has not to do with works. It's just trust, believe God. But after that, he says we are created unto good works. We are not saved by good works, but we are created unto good works. It is those good works now that's going to determine the order of your resurrection. Who will be who? The kind of glory your body will have. Let me drop this thought with you. Every day you pray, when you go come to the presence of God, say, Father, confess, in Jesus' name I have life. Your life, you spend time in the Word. You know what you're doing? You are depositing life into your body. Your spirit, your soul, your body. All that thing is being stored. When you die, if Jesus tarries, that is, if you die before Christ comes, it doesn't really matter whether it's at the rapture, what is actually going to happen is that it is what you have sown that is now going to be resurrected and multiplied 100-fold, to a great degree, that will now determine the glory of your resurrection. The guys who spend time with God, like what we were teaching the other day, walking in the Spirit, praying without ceasing, who fellowship with God, who are close to God, they're going to have a better resurrection than the guy who is just, comes to church, only on Easter. Hello? They're going to have the same resurrection. It's not possible. Because the resurrection is a direct consequence of the seed that was sown. And it's the amount of life that was sown in the seed that will determine the quality of the resurrection. Am I talking to anybody here?
And so that is to understand. That's why Paul went to all this trouble to try and explain to us what kind of body will it come with. In our class next week, we're going to see, you know, that you have different kind. You know, you have the resurrected body is a body. It's not a spirit. It is a body. Hallelujah. But it is not a natural body. It's a spiritual body, but it is a body all the same. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. And what you need to understand is that as a Christian, when you understand, saying, he that had this hope in him, purify. When I know that the way I'm living now is going to affect those two things, the order and then the glory of my resurrection, then I don't mess around. And I take my Christian life extreme. That was what Paul saw. He took his Christian life. He said, after I have preached to others, lest I become disapproved. I preach all the revelation and everything. Then on resurrection day comes, then I will, no. And that's why Paul said, you know, I press toward the mark, you know, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He was ready to pay any price. He was ready to suffer any suffering, endure any hardness, suffer any inconvenience, risk anything so that he could get the very best resurrection. In closing, there's a beautiful scripture in the book of Hebrews. You know, it says that they may obtain a better resurrection. Beautiful. Now it tells us that there are different resurrections. All good, right? There's a resurrection. You know, it means that there is a good, there is a better, and there is a best. It's a good resurrection. You know, one resurrection of the body was just, but has no glory. The moon. There's a resurrection of the sun. For those of you who know a little bit of physics and all of that, the sun is just a star. Now, we don't call it a star, but that's what it is. It's a star. Do you understand? It's a star that has planets revolving around in our solar system. But I want you to know there are billions of suns out there. And there are many suns out there. I'm not talking about S-O-N. I'm talking about S-U-N. There are many suns out there that are far more glorious than our own sun here. Far more right out there in the solar, you know, in the universe, outside our solar system here, inside our galaxy, and even outside our galaxy, there are billions. Nobody even knows the number yet. Of suns, of stars out there that are far bigger than our own sun here. Our sun here is a tiny sun. It's called a yellow star. In astronomical terms, it's an average sun. Not really very big. You know, there are things that are called supernovas. I like to be a spiritual supernova. Amen. That's why God put all these things out there. They're put there, they're for signs in the heavens to show us the kind of life God wants us to live. May we have a better resurrection. Let us pray. Talk to God. Talk to God. It's not enough just to be born again. Christianity does not end with just get born again and go to heaven. There's shortchanging you. In fact, if you live that kind of Christianity, if you're not careful, you may not even go to heaven. The borderline case kind of Christianity. And God doesn't want that for us. No, go for broke, so to speak. Go for gold. There's so much in Christianity. God wants us to live a clean and a holy life, purifying ourselves. That's why we need to put the life of God into our spirit, soul, body, the power of God. You know, clean out the sin nature so I can have a better resurrection. The better I do that, the better the resurrection I have. The less I do it, the less the resurrection I have. It's not all the same. It's a lie. Scriptures doesn't say so.
I pray, I want you to talk to God in your own heart. be like Paul. Say, God, God, let me know, I may know him, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformable unto his death, that if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Resurrection is a great, it's the greatest theme of Christianity. It's what gives us our hope. Is what makes whatever the devil does, it doesn't matter. And here, this hymn, speaking directly to God the Holy Spirit, this particular verse, breathe through thy, oh still small voice of God. As we were singing, the Lord was reminding me. He said, son, it was men like these who wrote this hymn. I don't even know the name of this person. I need to go and check it. I can't remember. He said, this was what made England great. And I made them, I gave them the power to subdue the whole earth. The sun never set on the British Empire. Because there was a remnant of them that knew the true God. And God is going to do the same now through Nigeria. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins are so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, reminding me that to find life, Lord God, I must be ready to risk my life, to endure inconvenience, to endure hardness, that I may obtain a better resurrection. Oh Lord, I understand that life does not end here. That Christianity promises me the life that now is and of that which is to come. And that which is to come is more important than even that which is now. And I know, according to your word, that as I purify myself in this life, I am preparing for a better resurrection in the life to come. Oh God, I understand these issues. Please come and help me. I ask for mercy. Oh God, I ask for grace to live a life of purity by your blood, your life, your word, and your spirit. Preparing daily for a better resurrection. In Jesus' name. Nikato Frede. Nikato Frede Kash. Nikato Frede Lekara. Zifri Kitofre. Lokoromo Shangi. Zefri Romo Talamas Tufrede. Nikataya Yoko. Rikatolomo Shangaras. Likatolomo Tufre. Lopride Lamaturo. Zefri. Umbutomoturushka Fredeska. Langa Klamatolomo Stufresh. Umbutomotofi. Umbutomotofre Shangara. In Jesus' name, Lord bless you. You may be seated.